Good morning, everyone. This morning's Bible verse comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power.
Thank you, Andrew. And today we conclude our series, Plan A, the Great Commission for Every Christian. And for those who may have missed our last few weeks, we've been working through five separate principles that ultimately help us and assist us in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others. In our first week, we looked at the principle of growing. We need to grow as disciples of Jesus ultimately. In our second week, we looked at the principle of knowing, in that we need to know others and be relational with them. In our third week, we looked at the principle of sowing, in that we need to sow seeds of faith in our conversations. Last week, we looked at the principle of rowing, in that we are ultimately in this together. We need to row together as we seek to make disciples in Jesus' name. And this week, we conclude our series once again by looking at the principle of showing up and depending upon Jesus. Because this principle is all about realizing that sometimes making disciples and sometimes sharing our faith isn't easy. And if we're open to God doing a work in our lives and using us to bring others to faith, then we need to realize there will be times where we will go through seasons of discouragement and disappointment. Because again, making disciples isn't always easy. In some cases, it may even lead to harassment and persecution. And we can make mistakes when we share our faith, and this can lead us to feeling inadequate. But the principle is that we need to keep on showing up no matter what, no matter the discouragement, no matter the mistakes that we make, and trust that it is Jesus and Jesus alone that makes his plan A work, because he wants to use us. And this principle reminds me of a time in my life when I was discouraged and when I was disappointed in myself for the mistakes I made in sharing my faith. And on this particular occasion, I was given the opportunity to share my faith and my story in front of hundreds of people at a basketball tournament. Previously, I'd been involved with an organization called Athletes in Action, and we had entered a team into this tournament. And we were given, a couple of us, the opportunity to share a devotion and to share our faith with those who were playing in this tournament. And I got up there and I shared my faith and had the opportunity to connect with people afterwards who did not know Jesus as a result of me sharing my story. I had conversations with them and I was able to open up with them. It was an incredible opportunity and it was incredible to see God at work in that particular moment. But not long after this time and this devotion I shared, not long after sharing my faith and having these conversations with people, I then went to play our next game of basketball with my team. And in this particular game, I made a complete fool of myself. I carried on, I argued with the refs, I let my frustrations be known at times to the point that my teammate pulled me aside and he said, "Dan, mate, you just shared your faith 5 minutes ago, cut it out." And I'm so thankful for that teammate of mine at that time, because what he was trying to say to me is that you've just shared your faith, and by carrying on the way that you are, you may possibly undo all that good that you just did in sharing your faith and sharing your story. I made a mistake and I felt so inadequate after that. I felt so unworthy and so disappointed in myself, like I had let down God himself. But this story goes to the heart of what we've been talking about, not just in this series, but throughout the year, that our witness and our ability to share our faith will be rendered ineffective and we won't be successful in it if our character and our actions don't line up with that of the kingdom of God and the faith that we are ultimately seeking to share with others. And you know, there's been plenty of other times where I've made mistakes and I've felt inadequate. And we love to hear stories ultimately where things go well and people are saved and come to faith, and that encourages us. But we shouldn't ignore that the fact that sharing our faith can have its difficulties. And it's okay to share stories of discouragement and disappointment, because it helps us realize that it is God himself that enables people to come to faith, not anything we do, but God in and through us, which is at the heart of this principle which we're looking at today. And you may have similar experiences, or you may have similar times where you've felt that way, where you felt discouraged or disappointed, or you've made a mistake and it's left you feeling inadequate. Maybe you feel inadequate because you don't feel as though you have the answers to people's questions, or don't know as much as you need to about the kingdom of God. The reality is, that's the point. Because we are perfect, are we? Jesus didn't say to us, go into the world and make disciples of all nations, and make sure when you share your story, when you share the gospel message of Jesus Christ, make sure it's perfect. He doesn't say that. In fact, he just asks us to take that step of faith and to trust in him, that he will use us to impact lives in his name. And that is again the point of this principle, and in fact, this whole entire series. There will be times where we feel inadequate, when we feel imperfect, but that is the point, because we are inadequate. I am inadequate, you are inadequate, and that is good news. That is a good thing, because what that does is that it pushes us to depend more and more on God. Again, this mission to redeem and to rescue this world, it isn't our mission, it is God's mission ultimately, and he invites us to play our part in the story, amen? He invites us to execute our part and just take those steps of faith in order that he may use us for his good. This plan depends upon us showing up and depending upon Jesus. In Acts 1, chapter 8, Jesus says this to his disciples, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Ultimately, it is by the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives and the lives that we are seeking to reach that our witnesses will ultimately be effective. Nothing more and nothing less. When you think of it this way, it's almost like a parent and a child baking a cake. This is something that Kel and I have been seeking to do with our children, particularly the boys in lockdown. Well, let's be honest, it's more Kelly than I. But we've had times where we've been able to bake cakes and do some baking with the boys and our kids. But if you can picture for a moment an adult or a mum or a dad baking a cake with their child, although the child is involved, who really is the one making the cake at the end of the day? It's the parent, isn't it? And if we were to leave our boys to their own devices to do whatever they wanted to try and make the cake as they please, let's be honest, it probably wouldn't turn out as a cake or a cookie, wouldn't it? I wouldn't like to know what that end result would be. Because again, it's not the parent, it's not the child that makes the cake. Yes, they may pour in the flour, or they may put the mixture into the oven, or put the butter into the mixture as well. But ultimately, it's the parent leading and guiding the process every step of the way. In our own strength, we are inadequate. We are imperfect. We will make mistakes. But thankfully, it is God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, who is guiding us every step of the way. And that is why we need to depend upon him in all of this. Which brings us back to the passage that Andrew read out to us earlier, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 3 to 5. Again, this is the Apostle Paul speaking when he says, I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power alone. I think that when we look at people like the Apostle Paul, the heroes of our faith, we look at them and those in Scripture and think of them as superhero evangelists, always fearless, always successful in bringing people to the Lord. But what we know from reading the book of Acts in particular is that Paul was not always successful when he witnessed to people and when he shared his faith with others. In fact, it appears and seems like most of the times that he shared his faith, people rejected this message of hope. People rejected Paul. And we see numerous examples throughout Scripture where Paul is beaten, thrown out, or mocked when he shares this message of hope with the world. But again, what we must realize, and to the point of this principle, is that even though this happened, it did not deter him. He would just move on to the next person and to the next person, proclaiming this incredible news of Jesus Christ. The moment he got knocked down, he got straight back up again. And the reality is today, the question before us all is, can we be like that also? In the moments where we are discouraged, disappointed, where we make mistakes, when we feel inadequate, when it doesn't go the plan, can we get back up off the canvas, as it were, and to go to the next person and to the next person to share our faith with them? Well, in this particular passage, we see the sheer humanity of Paul, because in this moment in Paul's life, he's fearful to the point of trembling, the passage tells us, and he's concerned ultimately about sharing his faith with the people of Corinth. And the reason for this is because they lived in a thriving economy. They were successful, at least in the eyes of the world. They were a proud culture, but an immoral culture, and they worshipped multiple gods. And Paul knew what would happen to him if he ultimately took that step of faith to share this message of Jesus with the people of Corinth. And so what does he do? Again, he goes to them, doesn't he? He shares his faith with them. He uses his testimony. He's willing to show up and depend upon Jesus. And so again, the question before us here today in light of this is, what helped him do that? What allowed him and assisted him achieve this and come to this place? Well, the key is the reality that he is fearful, which is ultimately his weakness. Because first of all, we see once again that he does not let this fear ultimately stop him. And the reality is, if there's been a moment in your life when you've been fearful in sharing your faith, you're in good company. Because there's no one on the face of this earth that hasn't gone through a similar process when sharing their faith. But what Paul does is that he learns to accept his weakness, and that drives him to depend upon God. And that is the first lesson that we can learn from ultimately Paul's life in this instance. Point number one, learning to accept our weakness ultimately drives us to depend upon God. Again, Paul came trembling with fear, yet he knew that he would not take on this mission without the strength and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And so he leans into the power of God, and that is what helps him. That is what allows him to come to this place. It's his dependence upon God and not his own strength that allows him to come to this place to overcome his fear and anxiety. He still speaks even though he is afraid. And the reality is today we cannot let our fears of what people might say or what they might do to us. We can't let our fears stop us from witnessing in Jesus' name. And this is something that we see throughout Scripture, throughout the Bible. We see this connection between our weakness, humanity's weakness, and God's strength. We see this with Moses when he's reluctant to go to Egypt and to obey God's calling, to call his people out of exile, out of captivity. He makes excuse after excuse. We see that in the small stature of David when he comes up against the mighty stature, physically anyway, of Goliath. Once again, there's this connection between our weakness and in God's strength. And later on in his second letter to the church in Corinth, Paul says these words in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 to 10. This is what Jesus says to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am made strong." Let me say that again. "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul knew that his weakness would ultimately lead to him depending upon God, and that it would ultimately lead to bringing all glory to God as well. So we can rest assured that even though we may not have all the answers, although we may feel inadequate, we just need to rely on God and He will do the rest. We just need to learn to keep on showing up despite our fears, despite those levels of inadequacy. And ultimately, when we do this, we make room for God to go to work. It's not in our fear and inadequacy that is the problem. The problem is when we stop showing up, when we stop taking those steps of faith and sharing our faith with others. That's ultimately the issue. Because it's in the realization that we are small, that we have fears, that we are inadequate, but yet God will still do the work in us. That is the most freeing thing that we can learn when it comes to sharing our faith with others. So next time you're aware of that fear or that inadequacy that might be holding you back, remind yourselves that every person who has witnessed to somebody once again at some point in their lives has felt exactly the same way. And what we do in those moments is that we pray, amen? And we pray for the courage and the strength to act in God's power, because at the end of the day, once again, to reinforce this point, it is the Spirit of God who is doing the work in and through us. And that's the key next lesson that we can learn from the Apostle Paul's life. It is the Holy Spirit who enables us to live out our calling. And that calling, again, is to be witnesses and to make disciples. There's nothing we can do in our own strength. Amen. It is purely and wholly the work of God through the power of His Holy Spirit that will see lives changed and transformed in His name. It is the Holy Spirit who breathes life into people and transforms their life, not us. It's the Spirit's work. And in her book, Salt or Stay Salt, Christian author and speaker Becky Pippett, gives us four ways that we can know that the Spirit is at work with us, or four ways that we can know that the Holy Spirit is with us. I think this is very practical and helpful for this context. And the first of those ways is remember. Ultimately, we need to remind ourselves throughout the day that we are not alone and that the Spirit of God is with us. We don't have to rely on our own strength or our own ability or our fear or our inadequacy. The Spirit of God will give us what we need. We need to remember that. Second of all, she says, rejoice. Thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Rejoice in what the Spirit does in your life. Third of all, she says, request. Ask the Holy Spirit for what we need. Do we need to overcome sin? Do we need to extend patience or grace to someone? Do we need the love of the Holy Spirit to flow in and through us to the other? Do we need a cup of courage or the strength to say something or clarify something when we are talking about Jesus? And finally, renew. Make each of these things a daily habit. Renew your commitment to walking in the step with the Spirit. Start each day by speaking to Jesus and listening to the Spirit. So again, remember, rejoice, request, and renew. These are just four practical ways that we can continue to be in step with the Holy Spirit and allow Him to go to work in our lives and do ultimately what God has called us to do, knowing that if He has called us, then He will go before us. If He is with us, then who can be against us? Amen. Ultimately, Paul was afraid to the point of trembling, anxiety, concern, but yet in the face of hostility and persecution, he still showed up. And he still found people who were ready to hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ. God would ultimately use Paul to grow the church in incredible, incredible ways. And he will use us also as we remain faithful to him in showing up as well. Jesus' plan A depends upon his people showing up and depending upon him. So may we go by the power of the Holy Spirit to the ends of the earth, or to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. Amen.